Hey geeks, it's Jana and Ashley. Thanks for joining us this episode of the Geek Girls Universe podcast, your place for the latest geek and fandom news.
Hey friends, thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Geek Girls Universe podcast. The fall season of TV kicks off tonight, and there are so many new and returning shows to be excited for. We're going to highlight some of our favorites, some that we have loved for several seasons, others that we had the chance to view the screeners for. But a full list of shows and air dates will be on our website. So check that out at geekgirlsuniverse.com.
I can't even believe the amount of TV to watch this week. There are quite literally not enough hours in the day to watch all of the TV shows. Between the screeners that we could have and did not have enough time to watch, and then what's airing this week, it's crazy. So tonight, I think first thing we're starting off with is ABC's The Good Doctor, which returns with season 3. I love Freddie Highmore. Like, he was so good in Bates Motel. Like, and when I saw he was cast for The Good Doctor at first, I was like, this is a really interesting casting, because in Bates Motel, he was just so weird and creepy. And I thought, how is he going to play this? Right? Like, it was just such a different role. And I thought, well, this is strange. And then I watched the show and I was like, God, I love him as this. And so, yeah, I'm really excited for season 3 to return of The Good Doctor this evening.
All right, over on CBS, you got The Neighborhood back for a second season, Bull season 4. And 2 new shows, Bob Hart's Abishola, which is a comedy, and All Rise, which is a drama. Now, I just saw a commercial for Bob Hart's Abishola, and I'm still kind of unsure what the show is about or why it's a show. It really seemed like a segment of a different show, if that makes sense. And then when I realized it was an actual show itself, I was like, oh, okay, well, that's interesting.
And I actually don't watch Bull all the time, but every now and again, I will drop in on a couple of episodes because I love Michael Weatherly from when he was on NCIS. So he's one of my favorite TV actors. And so, yeah, Bull, I'm kind of excited for to return. And then we have got over on NBC tonight, we have the new drama, Bluff City Law. It's a law drama that takes place in Memphis. So kind of excited to see how that shakes out.
And then Fox has 9-1-1 season 3 and a new drama starring Michael Sheen, whom I adore, called The Prodigal Son. He's playing the father character who is locked up in jail. And his son is an investigator, but he uses the experience of being with a dad that commits crime to help him in his investigations. But I'm a big Michael Sheen fan. And honestly, if he's in it, I'll probably end up watching it.
And then tomorrow night, so Tuesday, the 24th, ABC is back with like a ton of shows, and we're so excited for some of the returns and then some premieres. And Ashley, I'm going to let you talk about these because I know that some of these you actually not just screened, but wrote about on your website as well.
Yes. So two of the big premieres this week on ABC are Mixed-ish, which is a spinoff of Black-ish. But this show focuses on Beau and growing up in a mixed race family. Now, for those who don't know, I'm in a mixed race family. So I was very intrigued by the concept of them showing a mixed race family on TV, as well as not just the fun that comes with that and the joy and the love, but also, you know, how difficult things can be when you blend family like that. My husband is mixed. The pilot begins with the Black-ish cast gathered around a TV, and once again they're watching something that Beau has never heard of, and Dre's like, oh my god, like, how did you ever survive childhood? Because if you remember, she grew up on a commune and not in a cul-de-sac. However, the summer she turns 12, her family gets relocated to the cul-de-sac because the government shut down the commune, and they're forced to finally deal with society. Now, on the commune, there wasn't race. Everybody just loved everybody. However, they walk into school and immediately kids are like, what are you mixed with? And Beau's like, what's mixed? And then that kind of sets the tone for the episode of the kids finally discovering that what they've been used to their whole life, like, that's not, quote, normal for society. And that they need to choose a race or don't choose a race. And I thought it was really well written, and much like Black-ish, it gives historical background and it takes on this kind of heavy material in a smart way, adding in the humor, adding in the love. And I'm really excited to see where the season goes. It's a unique perspective because it's based on a mixed family. We don't have a lot of that, if any of it, really, on TV, to see the struggles of what it's like to not only be the parents, but also be the children. Do you pick a race? Do you not pick a race? What does that mean? So I loved it. It premieres tomorrow night on ABC at 9/8 Central. And I'm excited. I hope everybody likes it as much as I did.
Awesome. I think people are going to like it. It looks like a really good show.
I think if you love Black-ish and you're a fan of the formula of Black-ish, then you'll be a fan of this, because it follows that same kind of storytelling, but it just has that unique, again, that unique perspective of being a biracial family. Mm-hmm. The other premiere tomorrow night on ABC is Emergent. So Emergent is a new drama, and I did get a chance to screen it. And I really honestly thought, oh, it's going to be a typical cop drama, but I was wrong. Like, it definitely is a cop drama, but it combines, you know, conspiracy with family bonds, believable characters, and some supernatural. You really are left thinking, wait, what? Like, what I thought was happening and how the story was going, they threw a curveball in at the very end, and you're like, wait, hold on. I thought that it was just a government cover-up, but is there some sort of like supernatural interference? Or is it a supernatural segment of the government? Is this not even the government? And it's some like alien race that has infiltrated our, you know, our planet. We don't know. And so it's intriguing. And Donald Faison is back in the show, and I loved him in Clueless. And it's good to see him back on TV. I also love the mom, because the mom, she's the main character. Her name is Jo, and she's super relatable. She's a single mom. She's just trying to do the right thing, protect her family, as well as protect this child that they found that just kind of seemed to appear out of nowhere. But the child isn't just a normal child. So, like I said, there's some supernatural stuff going on here, or at least some super enhancements. So it could be just some government testing. I don't know. Again, it looks very intriguing. I'm excited to see where the season goes, because now I need to know. And that's always the test of a good pilot episode. Does it leave you wanting more? I definitely was left wanting more. I need to know. I need some answers.
Sure. That is kind of always the test, right? Like, were you hooked after that pilot, just being like, I need more?
Right. Exactly. Now, you watch NCIS, right?
I do. You know, and the thing is, I used to watch it religiously. And then, I mean, let's be real, right? Like, so NCIS is back for season 17. I just can't watch.
I can't even believe that.
Seriously, 17 years of NCIS. We've been through so many lead detectives and so many, you know, other supporting cast. But it doesn't matter, because they just have such a great formula. Like, you can watch it. You can literally watch it for not 3 years or, you know, six seasons, whatever, and just come in, pick up an episode, and it works. You're not lost. You don't wonder what happened, and it's still a good episode. And then you can, you know, watch the next six, or you can, you know, skip 10 and watch another one. And I don't know. It works for me. I like it. And it clearly works for a lot of people, because here we are 17 seasons later, getting ready to premiere again on tomorrow night. And then NCIS New Orleans is here for, you know, season six. People love NCIS, and, you know, what's not to love. So, and then NBC has got This Is Us, which I watch it pretty regularly, although I don't always watch it the night it premieres. I usually watch it, you know, a couple nights later, because whatever, that's just how my life rolls. But I'm really excited to see what happens, because at the end of season three, we left, you know, Randall and Susan, you know, were kind of having some marital issues. They decided to sell their house in Jersey, move to Philly. Randall's going to start a job as a councilman there. Beth is going to start her own dance studio. You know, Kate and Toby were able to take their baby home finally from the hospital, mm-hmm. and they're so excited to start their lives as new parents. Kevin, you know, he just broke up with his girlfriend when he realized that, like, he wanted kids and she didn't. Rebecca, and I just love Mandy Moore, and I've always loved Mandy Moore forever, right? And so, like, she's been having some, you know, memory issues that she decided she needed to, like, take little notes everywhere. And she's moving to Los Angeles with her husband and, to help raise the baby that Kate and Toby just get to bring home from the hospital. Like, oh, there's so much going on. But yeah, so in season four, we basically get to kind of see, like, how this is all going to play out. And, you know, I think we're going to finally just see how things are happening for, like, Randall and Beth, and how, you know, what's happening in Philly for them, and how...
And cry.
Yeah. Well, oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. So much crying, right? We'll see just kind of how, like, Kate and Toby figure out how things work out for them and how they take care of their relationship with, you know, a baby. I mean, just, oh my goodness, so many things, all the things happening at once.
I also usually watch it a few days later, but only because I want to, like, cry by myself. And so my husband's home at night and he doesn't watch the show. So I don't want him, like, walking in and be like, why are you sobbing? So I prefer to have my therapeutic This Is Us. Right? During the day when he's not here.
I mean, and in fairness, I'll kind of do the same thing, and not necessarily because, like, he doesn't care or doesn't get it, but I kind of wait until a moment in the week when I'm, like, ready to just like,
you need to cry. Like, all right, I need a release. Like, oh,
today is the day for This Is Us. Like, maybe I don't need that on Tuesday night. Maybe I need it on Thursday.
Yes, exactly. That is what This Is Us is good
for. It is. It's so funny. Oh, it's so funny. Oh, my goodness. See, that's how you watch This Is Us, right? Maybe you're not ready for the good cry on Tuesday. Maybe you need it on Wednesday or Thursday. I'm really sorry. Sorry for, like, you know, the Nielsen ratings and whatever, but it's just how I need to work my TV watching.
It's just facts.
Okay? It is. It's just facts. And we... Yeah, exactly. And NBC also has season two of New Amsterdam returning.
Over on Fox, they have The Resident season three and Empire's in its final season, season six. I have not watched Empire, but I know people that are obsessed with it. I do think the cast is amazing. Taraji is golden. Love her. So I probably should watch it, but I kind of feel like now I'll watch it because I can binge it to the end and not have to wait, because that's the crappy part about seasons of TV. You're like, I need to know more. I need to know now what's happening. So
I do love that bingeability sometimes of just being able to sit down and watch, you know, 10 episodes in a row. Agreed. I have no patience.
I don't either. I don't. I try, but I fail miserably at having patience. Wednesday night, ABC's. That's kind of like their powerhouse night. You got The Goldbergs, Schooled, Modern Family, and its final season, which, although I'm sad, I'm a Modern Family fan, I think it is time to say goodbye to it. Single Parents is probably my favorite new comedy of the year last year. I got to do a set visit, meet the cast, the adult cast. They are hilarious and so sweet. If you like to tweet during shows, tweet with the cast. They totally respond on Twitter. They're very friendly like that. Now, Stumptown is going to be a brand new show this season. And Jana not only has seen the pilot, but she also got to sit down and interview the cast. So tell us about it.
So Stumptown. I am really excited about Stumptown. So for multiple reasons. So the first is that it's based on a series of graphic novels, because you know how we love our graphic novels and comic books and whatnot. But the comic series is written by a gentleman named Greg Rucka, who's based in Portland. Just cool stories, cool people. But they take place in Portland, Oregon. So hi, yay, Portland. The stories are great for several reasons. One, we're going to start with a little bit of female empowerment. So the main character's woman's name is Dex, and she's an Army veteran. She's, you know, super strong, assertive female character, a little brash, a little unapologetic. Kind of reminds me of myself in that way, just a little bit like, here I am.
Just a little bit.
Here I am, take me or leave me. But she, you know, she kind of has this complicated love life. She moves to Portland to take care of her brother. She's got a little bit of a gambling debt, apparently. But her military intelligence skills make her a really great private investigator. And so that's her sort of new line of work when she, you know, moves to Portland. It's a really just kind of interesting story in terms of it's a little different than your typical police type TV show. And it's a really great cast. And it's interesting because one of the things we talked about when they were interviewed was one of the other people in the room had asked a question about like this really diverse cast. And I think it was Tantu Cardinal, who plays the character Su Lin. She actually was saying how even though they talk about it being this very diverse cast, it's not the thing that you actually really notice beyond like if you just kind of look at them all in a room, you go, okay, yeah, it's a diverse cast. But that's not what they focus on in the stories. And it's really not what the story is about. And it's not what they want to be known for. It's just a really well-written story. And all the pieces just play well together. You know, so Colby Smulders, known for How I Met Your Mother and the Avengers movies as, you know, Agent Maria Hill. She plays the main character, Dex. Michael Ealy plays one of the detectives. Cameron Manheim, who I freaking adore from The Practice, plays one of the lieutenants. There's just a whole cast of characters. And they work so well together. And it's just such a unique story. You can just tell that the way that they interact, the way that they talk together, nobody in that room is nobody's a diva. Really great group of people, really excited for the work that they're doing, excited for the stories. And yeah, the first episode was super good and can't wait to see the whole season because I've seen the first two episodes so far. Yeah, it airs Wednesday night, and I think people are going to be really excited about it. It's a little bit different spin on your typical sort of police TV drama.
That's awesome. I actually had no idea it was based on a comic book. I feel like that might be a geek fail on my part, but I didn't know. But that actually makes me more interested in it because I'm like, oh, it's not going to be like a, because again, I was like, typical cop show.
Yeah.
Typical detective show.
And it's neither of those. Yeah. And the comic book author has been pretty involved with the producers to kind of make sure that it, you know, has a feel that's very much like what he wrote. So any changes that they make are, you know, still really very much in line with his original intentions in the comic books, which I appreciate.
I appreciate that too, especially with how Game of Thrones ended.
Exactly. I think we all feel that way.
But that's a tangent for another day.
Well, I'm stoked for Stumptown and I'll watch it because you recommended it. I was it. But now I'm hearing some good things, so I will check it out. Also rounding out Wednesday night on CBS is Survivor in season 39. Dear Lord, 39 seasons of Survivor. That's crazy to me. Also, but I'm not a fan of running around in the wild with like bugs and not air conditioning. So.
All of a sudden, I feel really old.
I mean, that show's older than I am. So that's crazy to me. And NBC has Chicago Med, Fire, and PD, which again, I didn't realize there were three Chicago shows, but there are. They must love Chicago on NBC. And Fox has The Masked Singer season 2.
On Thursday, we've got, you know, ABC is back with, they've got so many good shows again this season. Mm-hmm. ABC is killing it. So Grey's Anatomy, back for season 16. Man, also feeling old again. I remember when Grey's Anatomy started. Meredith Grey, Derek, some of my favorite characters.
McDreamy.
Oh my goodness, yes, all the mix. McVet, McDreamy, yes. Seriously, Mick season 16. I cannot believe we're in season 16. That's just crazy. But hey, we are back with season 16. A Million Little Things is here with season 2. And How to Get Away with Murder, back with season 6.
CBS has Young Sheldon. So for those missing The Big Bang Theory this season, as it did in last year, you can watch The Young Sheldon. There's a new two new comedies, The Unicorn and Carol's Second Act. Mom is in season 7, and there's a new drama called Evil. I always laugh at these show titles sometimes because I'm like, okay, descriptive, sort of. You know, Evil. Yeah, I'm like, okay. I'm guessing there's somebody that's bad. I don't know. NBC has Superstore, Perfect Harmony, Sunnyside, and my favorite, The Good Place. It's the final season. I'm so sad.
We love The Good Place. My girls, like, they come in and they're all like, can we watch The Good Place? We've watched season 1 and 2. I can't even tell you how many times because you can stream it on Netflix.
Yeah.
And they're just constantly like, can we watch The Good Place? And I was like, you've already seen this. And they're like, we don't care. They just want to keep watching it. That is how much we love The Good Place.
I was instantly infatuated with it when I saw the preview and it was like, what the fork? And I was like, ah!
And like, we can't get enough. And we can't get enough Kristen Bell in our house, right? So, yes.
Very true. Very true. And so, if you didn't know, they actually have a spinoff called The Selection. It's a mini series online at NBC.com. And it's based on, so this season is about, they get to start over with a new neighborhood, but the Bad Place peeps get to pick the humans that they put in The Good Place to prove to God that humans can be good. So The Selection miniseries is showing you how the Bad Place chose these humans. So you might want to binge those a little bit before the premiere Thursday night.
On Friday, we have a whole bunch of other good shows coming back as well. ABC's Fresh Off the Boat is back for season 6, and American Housewife is back for season 4. I love Katie Mixon. She is so hilarious. I can totally relate to American Housewife. So
same girl, same.
I met her on a press trip and we interviewed her, and she is just hilarious, down to earth, and yes, I mean, oh yeah, American Housewife right here.
I like Fresh Off the Boat too. That's another hilarious one. Maybe because it's set in like the 90s, so I kind of laugh at the style of clothing and the music because I'm like, oh, that's my childhood.
Yes, 100%.
CBS has Hawaii Five-0 in season 10, Magnum PI, and Blue Bloods. Some other random shows that I saw picked up specifically was Crank Yankers. I don't know if you watched that, but I did on Comedy Central back in the day. And if you don't know what Crank Yankers is, it's prank phone calls. It's prank phone calls acted out by puppets. And it's, I mean, it's what you would expect from that description alone. That's really all I can say. I used to watch it. I had no idea it was coming back. But when I was researching for our podcast, I was like, what? Crank Yankers? Holy crap.
I do vaguely remember that show because also feeling really old as we're talking about some of these shows and how many seasons they've been around. I was like, wait, Crank Yankers. I think I might have been in college when that was out. I don't know. It feels old. Maybe I was in college, but it feels like college.
I'm just shocked, but I'm also kind of intrigued.
And then we,
like, how do you prank call people nowadays? Like with caller ID, like it worked back then because like nobody had caller ID.
And I remember doing it back in the days of having like a rotary dial phone, like.
And like you could like do a code. What was it? Was it star 67 or something to like block your number when you called someone?
I think it's star 77 maybe. I don't even know. I can't remember. That's how long ago it was that you did that.
But like, how do you block your number now? Like you just Google search it. But like, who is this calling me? I know I do. As soon as I see an unknown number, yeah. I'm like, who is this? And I immediately Google it. So I'm curious to see what they're doing, how they're going to do it. And also Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which I adore, will be back for season 7 on NBC. However, it's not starting yet. It's starting back mid-season, which kind of stinks. No official date has been announced, but last season also started mid-season, and it was sometime in January. So I think we have to wait a little bit longer to go back to the 9-9.
The only benefit of that being the mid-season is that while we I hate anticipating like when we'll actually get to see it is that we have so many other shows in the meantime. We'll be so like so far into watching those other shows that we'll be excited for something totally new by the time this rolls around. So
that is true. It has a chance to shine without being just one more show on my TBR.
Friends, thanks so much for joining us again this week. Next time, join us and our friend Patty of the No Guilt Fangirls podcast, and we're going to talk about Run Disney. You don't want to miss her tips and tricks for all of the Run Disney content because she's the queen of that Run Disney life. Meanwhile, I don't know about you, Ashley, but I can barely manage a 5K, you know, without dying.
Girl, I don't run. I don't jog. I slog. I can't. Running sucks for me.
I run for wine and I run from zombies. And I will say I did once do a 5K with Patty. We were at Epcot for the Star Wars Dark Side 5K.
Oh, see, I mean, I would run for Disney, but then again, I do a lot of things for Disney that I would do for no other company or entity.
Uh-huh.
However, if you see me running, most likely you should run too because something's coming because I don't run.
Pretty much. Yep, that's pretty much it.
Thanks for listening. Join us next time for more geeky goodness.